Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Gimel. We are holding on Daf Nun Beis and Beis. We stopped at a little bit of a strange spot, six lines from the end of the page at Ika de Amri. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lindishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom. So the Gemara is going to continue the discussion of a Drusa pretty much throughout the entire daf. We're going to talk about whether a Chatul and a Chulda can do Drusa, and particularly that there's going to be three contradictory statements made by Rav about that. Either they both can, they both can't, or one can, one can't, and we're going to have to reconcile those three statements. We're going to discuss, is the Nates the only bird that does Drusa? What about other non-kosher birds? What about a fox? Can a fox, if a fox claws something, does it make it a Drusa? Then the Gemara is going to have four different limitations on the din of Drusa, that how it has to be done in order for us to consider the victim to be a Trefa. Then the Gemara is going to spend a good deal of time about a Suffolk Drusa. What do we assume if we didn't see it happen and there's some indicators one way or the other? So how do we treat a Suffolk Drusa? That's going to be the majority of the duff, actually. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how to check a Drusa to see if it in fact became a Trefa, if it in fact had the impact to trafe up that animal. Then the Gemara is going to have a few shilas, three different shilas that were posed, two of which were posed by Ilfa, but were already answered by somebody else on this topic of Drusa. So let us begin again at Ika Da'amri, six lines from the end of the page. So Ika Da'amri, another version of the conversation that we had yesterday, is that Rav Chista holds that a chatul can accomplish Drusa, can it be matrif another behema by being dores, whether yesh matzilim or ein matzilim, whether anyone stands up to the defense of that victim or not. And the brisa that holds that a chatul does not do drisa is assuming like beribi. Detanya beribi omer, because beribi says lo amri yesh drusa el makom she yesh matzilin. Beribi is the one that holds that it's only going to accomplish a chatul, and an emiya will only accomplish drusa when there is a matzil for the oaf or the gedi from the drisa, where someone is trying to protect the oaf or the gedi. So then the chatul is going to go in even stronger, and that's when it's going to really be dores. But when there's not a fight that's put up, then ain't drusa. Then when it claws, it's not going to let out its venom where it's going to harm the victim in such a way. Is that true? When there's no one that tries to defend the victim, it's not going to be a drusa. Vayhi tarnagolas tavay beRav Kahana. There was a tarnagolas by Rav Kahana, the chatul basra, that a chatul ran after it. Va'aldi idruna, and it ran into a room. Ve'itchid dasha ba'ape, and it slammed the door in the face of the chatul. Umachil dasha b'sichufe, and the chatul clawed the door. Ve'shtakach lechamisha korte dama, and we found five drops of blood on the door from where the chatul clawed it. So don't you see that there was this eris that it let out its venom, even though there was no one defending, there was no one that was matzil. So says Gemara, Hatzalas Atzman Nami Katzalas Achirim Damya. When it's running into a room and slamming a door in the chatul's face, that's also called the Hatzalah. It doesn't have to be that another animal or a person gets up to try to defend it, to try to protect it. If it stands up in self-defense, that also activates the chatul to make him want to be dores, to make him want to claw in a way that's going to kill its victim. So that's the end of yesterday's discussion. So by Minei Rav Kana Mirav, Rav Kana asks Rav the following shayla: Yesh drusa lechatul or ein drusa lechatul? Does a cat have drisa or not? So he said, does a cat have drisa? Afl chulda yesh drusa. Even a chulda, a weasel which is smaller than a cat, is able to do drusa. Of course, a chatul can do drusa. So another occasion he said, or the yesh drusa lechulda or ein drusa lechulda? Can a weasel do drusa or not? He just said yes, right? So you see, he said, you asked me about a weasel. Amalei afl chatul ein drusa. Even a chatul which is larger than a weasel is unable to do drisa. So far, Rav said two absolutely contradictory things, right? One, he said both a chatul and a chulda can do drisa. The other, where he said neither a chatul nor a chulda can do drusa. And then he said lechatul ulechulda yesh len drusa ein len drusa. A third time he said, do a chatul and a chulda have drusa? So Amalei lechatul yesh drusa, lechulda ein drusa. Well, a cat can do drisa, but a weasel cannot. So he distinguished between one and the other. Velo kasha. And in fact, Rav was not so sir himself. We can reconcile all three of these statements. Ha da amalei afl chulda yesh drusa. That which he said, that even a chulda is able to accomplish drusa, that is ba'ofos. That is specifically when he is dores ofos, when he goes after a bird. The Rashi points out even a large bird, because the Gemara doesn't qualify that it's an of hadak. Sounds like even a large bird, that it has the ability to be dores. And even though the Gemara in Baba Kama says that a chatul that kills and eats a tarnagol is considered to be a dover mashuna, the Gemara in Baba Kama has to discuss what's normal, what's not normal, what an animal is muad to do, not muad to do, and a chatul killing a bird is a weird thing. A tarnagol killing a bird is a dover, is a chatul killing a tarnagol rather is a dover mashuna. Yeah, that's if it goes and murders it, but if it claws it in a way in which it makes it a trip and that it's going to die, says the Das Torah, that is not considered something unusual. So yesh drusa ba'ofos, a chatul attacking a tarnagol and clawing it in a way that it's going to make it a treifa, yeah, that is a normal thing. Ha'da amalei af l'chatul ein drusa. And when Rav said that even a chatul does not do drisa, that's be'imri ravravi. That's talking about large sheep, that even a chatul, which is larger than a chulda, is unable to do drisa on a large sheep. And that which he distinguished between a chatul and a chulda, that's talking about mid-sized animals, the smaller behemadaka. So when it comes to birds, both of them are able to accomplish drusa. When it comes to larger sheep, which are not behemagasa, it's a behemadaka, but a large behemadaka, then neither is able to accomplish drusa. When it comes to a small behemadaka, a chatul can do drisa, and a chulda is unable to do drisa. How do you define what's a large behemadaka? What is a small behemadaka? So the Chachma Sadam Klal Chafei Sif Gimel says not so clear. It might be that it depends on what people call it. That's what he says. The Shach in Siman Lamed Tes Sif Katan Lamed Ches writes this way. Or it could be that within 30 days it's considered Gediyim Utzlaim, and once it's 30 days old, it's called Imri Ravravi. And the Shach entertains such a possibility in Siman Lamed Ei Sif Katan Mem Vav, but he says more likely the first side, that it's based on what people call it. However, in the Sefer Chosin Yeshuas, he writes that the Shir HaDavar is anything that's larger from the Chatul, that is Doresh, is called Imri Ravravi. And that's why the fact that the Gemara says the Lashon of Imri Ravravi, Imri is just the translation of the word Keves. So even though it's a Keves, which means it's only within its first year of life, but if it's Ravravi, if it's larger than the attacker, so then it's not going to be able to become a Drusa. But if it is smaller then it will be able to become a Drusa. So that is the way to reconcile the three statements of Rav. Now this Gemara, this whole sugya about Drusa, the assumption is, the way the Rishonim explained, the way the Gemara seems to assume, is that there's eris, that there's venom that the attacking animals are depositing into the victim animals. And the problem is, b'mitzius, it doesn't seem to be the case. A cat is not venomous. A cat has claws, but a cat is not venomous. So what on earth is the Gemara talking about? So there is a passage in Michtav Me'eliyahu, in Chelek Dalid, where he writes that the halachos were yidua l'chachamim l'doridoros. They had halachos about what's a drusa, what's not a drusa, what is, what isn't, and it had not. They then, based on the metzius that they, as they understood it at their times, tried to use that metzius to explain the halachos. But if that metzius turns out to be incorrect, if that metzius doesn't change the halacha, we just need to come up with other ways of explaining the halacha. But the halacha of which animals create a drusa, which animals do not, that doesn't change anything. And he goes on to explain that a chatul is different than a kelev, in that a chatul has a double fingernail, and a lot of times when it goes and it claws things, one fingernail sticks out and the other one stays in, and things get caught, all this junk gets caught underneath the fingernails of the chatul, and when it goes and it attacks, attacks, a lot of that stuff ends up on its victim. And it's likely that that's what the they observed, and that's what they're referring to in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. In the, so the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta quotes that Michtam Eliyahu, and then he also quotes Rav Schwab. It's the only time I've ever seen the Panini Halacha section quote Rav Schwab. That Rav Schwab said, no, no, you're mistranslating Chatul over here. Chatul doesn't mean a cat, it means a wild cat. A wild cat is a different kind of animal than a cat. And a wild cat, Taka, does have these qualities. So that's what it must have meant when it said a chatul. Okay, but you got to figure out how to reconcile the Metzius with the... with the mitzvahs that the Gemara seem to assume. So now says Gemara, by Ravashi, Sharofus Tmein, Yesh Len Drusa, Ein Len Drusa. So we said in the Mishnah, Drusas Hanates Ba'of Hadak. So the Nates has the ability to be Dores an Of Hadak, and a Drusas Hagas Ba'of Hagas. So Gemara says, what about other Ofus Tmein? Yesh Len Drusa, Ein Len Drusa, is their clawing considered something that's able to trafe up the victim bird that it attacked? Samalei Rav Hillel Ravashi ki avinin be Rav Kahana Omar Sharofus Tmein Yesh Len Drusa. That Rav Kahana told us that yes, that it is able to trafe up a bird that it attacks. Vahanantanan, but didn't we learn Drusas Hanates Ba'of Hadak, that a Drusas Hanates on an Of Hadak is a trefa? Sounds like Dafka Anates has Drisa on an Of Hadak, but any other Of Tame will not be able to claw to the point of making a trefa on an Of Hadak. So answer the Gemara, when we say Drusa Sanates, it's not coming to be Mema'it other birds. It's coming to tell us that there's a difference between the way that Anates creates a Drusa and other birds do so. But other birds can also, it's just that Anates has a certain additional koach in that Drusa Sanates Pidikavasei. That innate can make can claw to the point of trefa a bird of equal size, whereas other ofos tameim can only pick on someone smaller than them. They're not able to do so to a bird that's of equal size. V'ikadamri, or the other version is that what separates innate from other birds is drusas innate b'derabi minei. That innate can actually claw to the point of making a trefa even a bird that's larger than it, whereas v'inach all other ofos tameim b'dekav Sahu can only pick on someone their own size. They cannot pick on someone that is larger than them. They're not able to accomplish that for someone larger than them. So Rav Kahana Mishmed Rav Shimi Barashi Ein Drusa L'Shual, that a fox cannot claw to the point of making the victim into a trefa. Eini, is that really so? Vakiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he told us that Maisa V'Doras Shual Rachel B'Merchas Shal Beisini. One time a Shual clawed a Rachel in the bathhouse of Beisini. Uba Maisa L'Fnei Chacha, it must have been rough to bathe in this bathhouse. There are foxes in it. So Uba Maisa L'Fnei Chachamim, and the story came in front of the Chachamim, Va'amru Yesh Drusa, and the Chacham Paskin that the Shual is able to accomplish trafing up the victim that it clawed. Some Rav Safra, Hayi Chatul Hava. No, no, it wasn't a Shual. In that case, it was a Chatul. We already said a Chatul is able to be Dores. But a Shual, maybe in a Chinami, is not able to be Dores. The Tosos raises the question, why didn't the Gemara just say that this Maisa was with a small Rachel that had a din of Gediyah Mutzla'im? And just like Chum said, and that's where the Chum say that there's Drisa for a Shual. Whereas Rav Kahana was talking about larger sheep, and maybe a shul doesn't have the ability to be dores larger sheep, right? That's what we said about the chulda, or about the chatul, right? That it could be dores gediyah mutlaim, but it can't be dores the larger sheep. So Tosa suggests that you can't say that Rav Kahana was dafka talking about kvasim gedolim, because then why does he dafka talk about a shul? Even a chatul, which is dores more than a shul, doesn't have the ability to be dores Kvasim Gedolim. So the fact that he dafka picked an example of a shul tells me that he's not talking about larger sheep. Ikeda Amri, another version is that Amr Rav Kahana Mishmed Rav Shimi Barashi Yesh Drusa L'Shual, that a shul can do Drusa, the opposite to what the first version said, that a shul is able to accomplish Drusa. Eini, but is that so? Vakiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he told us Maisa V'Doras us. Shul Rachel b'merchus shel beisini b'maisel v'nachamim v'amru ein drusa. That the story was the opposite, that they paskined ein drusa. Some Rav Safra ho kelefava. That story didn't happen with a fox. That story happened with a dog, and a dog cannot accomplish drusa. Only a cat can accomplish drusa, but a dog cannot. And a shul apparently can as well accomplish drusa like a cat, according to this version. So several of the Rishon, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rush, all write that even according to this version of the story of the psak, that yesh drusa l'shul, that a shul is able to be dores, that's only on gedim utzloim, like a chatul, but not on kvasim gedolim. Because if a shul is not odif mi chatul, if a chatul can't be dores kvasim gedolim, then for sure a shul cannot be dores kvasim gedolim. That's what the Rambam says. Only gedim utzloim, gedim utzloim, when it comes to a shul. However, the Ramban quotes Harav Av Beis Din Zal, one of the Ravids, that there's no chilik and between larger and smaller sheep, and a shul has the ability to be Doris, even Kvasim Gedolim. The Rashba quotes this from a Yesh Omrim as well, even though both the Ramban and the Rashba reject this opinion. So the Meiri quotes our Gemara that there's these two deos, whether a Shul has Risa or not. He says Yesh Lahachmir Misafek, just like by a Chatul, but not more than a Chatul L'chara, and therefore not for larger animals, not for larger sheep. Amar Rav Yosef, Naktinon ein drusa lekelev. We paskin that a kelev is that's dores. It's not going to be toref the behema or the oaf that it was dores. It doesn't have this venom. It's not able to accomplish drisa. So now the Gemara says, but even when an animal has the ability to be dores, there it has to be done right. And if it's not done, it will make four qualifications. And if it's missing any of these qualifications, then it's not really called a drisa. That encounter between the attacker and the attacked is not considered a true clawing. Amar Rabbi Naktinon, first of all, in drusa el biyad. It's got to be with the four legs, not with the hind legs. Lafuke regel delo, as opposed to the regel, which is the hind legs, that's not called a clawing. Number two, in drusa el bitziporin. It has to be with the claws. Lafuke shein delo, as opposed to with the teeth. That's not considered to be a clawing. There is no venom in the teeth of these animals. It's only in their claws and not in their teeth. Number three, ein drusa ela midas. It has to be done intentionally, meaning the animal has to be on the attack, because only then will it release its venom. La fuke shelo midas, as opposed to if it just fell and landed on another animal and its claws caught onto another animal, delo. That is not considered drisa, because if the animal's not angry and trying to attack, it is not going to release any of its venom. And number four, in drusa ela mechayim, that it only works while the animal is alive. La fuke lachermisa, as opposed to if it's already dead and then it falls on another animal, dilo, then it's not going to be able to be doris, it's not going to release any venom. So says Mara, wait, that fourth one seems unnecessary if you already told me the third one, right? Meaning the third qualification was that it's got to be willfully, mindfully attacking. If it's dead, one thing I could tell you is that it is not willfully, mindfully doing anything. So I ask the Gemara, Amri hashta shalom idas amr lo. If you tell me that when it's shalom idas, it's not really being dores lachar misa mibayi, you need to tell me that when it's dead, that it's not considered to be dores. So says Mara, lo tzricha de dores upaskul diyade. The case is it was dores while it was alive, and then before it extends its fingernails, its claws into the victim, they cut off the hand of the attacker. So in that case, the attacker is considered to be dead, meaning its hand is dead. It's cut off from the rest of its body. So that's the assumption, that when he says la'achar misa, Rashi writes it means the misas ha'ever. The Rashba says, or it could be, that they just kill the dores before it sticks out its claws. The Rashi has a different girsa. Kigon shedarsa umakame delishkele l'schufei katlua inami paskul liyade. Both interpretations is the Rashi's girsa, either like Rashi or like the Rashba. Either they cut off the hand of the attacker, where they kill the attacker before it extends its claws. So ma'adatema ba'adi didaris shadizire. I might think that when it sticks out its claws, it's already the venom is already on its way out, and therefore if that claw subsequently hits the victim even after the attacker is dead, but the venom is there and it's going to make the victim a trepa. So kamashmala, and that's why it tells. It's when it removes its claws from the animal that it attacked, that's when it releases the venom. So if, by the time it removes its claws, it's already dead, it's not going to release its venom. So that's the chiddush over here. That ein achinami, it can only do midas, but at what point does it do it? It only does it when it releases the claws. So if it's dead at the time of the releasing of the claws, therefore it's not going to have the ability to release the venom. Okay, so now we move on to the main topic of the daf, which is a suffix drusa. Amar Barafun Amarav. Arisha nichnas leben ashvarim. If you see a lion go into an area where there are a bunch of oxen there, v'nimtza tziporin begabu shalachem mehen, and then you find a claw on the back of one of the oxen. You didn't see what happened. You didn't have a camera in the room. You weren't watching what this lion was doing. You just go into the place after the lion leaves, and you see a claw on the back of one of the oxen. So ein choshen shemari deraso. You do not have to be choshesh that the lion clawed that ox and made it a trefa. My time, why am I not choshesh for drisa in such a case? Because rov arayos dorsin. It's true, most arayos are dores. They will attack, they will claw. Umiyutan ain't dorsin, but not all arayos. Some lions are much more calm. Lions like to sleep a lot, and some lions are much more calm and are not dores. So it's a miyut that are not dores. V'kol adores ain't siparin neshmetas. One thing is clear that any lion that claws the tziporin doesn't come out of its body at the time of the drisa. So v'zos hol v'tziporin yosheves lo begabo. This shor, since it has a tziporin that's sitting in its back, emer b'kosel neschakech, it is more likely that it just rubbed against the wall where there was a tziporin there, and that's how it got the tziporin in its back. So we're not choshesh for drisa. We assume that it was just innocently rubbing its back against the wall, and it picked up a fingernail from there. So says Gemara, why would you say that? Adraba, I would say the opposite. That rov shvarim mischakin. Look, it's true that most oxen, when they get itchy, they like to rub against the wall, but some shvarim do not rub against the wall. But everything that rubs against the wall typically does not have a tziporin lodge itself in its back. Meaning you don't find this too often. How often do you find that there's a tziporin that was on the wall that lodged itself in the back of the ox? That it almost never happens. So maybe we should say the opposite. We should say that this ox, if it's got a claw lodged in its back, so that's a raya that the ari was doresit. So ikal memrachi v'ikal memrachi, meaning both of these possibilities are equally plausible. It's plausible the ari was doresit. It's plausible that it just rubbed against the wall. So uki milsa chazake. So we go with the chazaka that the shor was not a doros prior to this. Havle safik drusa v'rav l'tameh damrin choshen safik drusa. This is rav l'shitaso that we are not choshesh for a suffix drusa. The Bach in Yeridea, Simon and Zion, says, why is this considered a suffix drusa? It's pashut that we shouldn't aser in such a case, because the Gemara said that a doris is only matil the eras when it removes the fingernails, when it removes its claws. One thing I see is that the claw is still there. So if it's still in the back, it never removed. So if it never removed it before the claw came off of the attacking lion, so then the chora, they couldn't have deposited any venom. So the Bach says we have to be choresh that it was doris v'chazer v'doris. So it clawed and pulled out and then clawed again. So on the first pull out, it released the venom. Or he says maybe we're choresh that it's atypical for it to be doris with only one claw. There were multiple claws. The others pulled out, right? Meaning it used both claws, both hands to attack. and one of them left a fingernail there, but the others didn't. The others had pulled out and was able to release venom. And 30 says that there is hashlachas eres even in this case where the tziporen where it removes its hand. Meaning the point is that it comes through the fingernail when it pulls back its hand. So when it pulled back its hand, it released the venom through the fingernail, even if the fingernail stays there. It's not about the fingernail leaving the body. It's about when it pulls back, that's when it releases the eris. So that's the way that that the Bach answers this question. Amar Abaye, lo amaron ela tziporen. Aval makom tziporen choshishin. That this old din that we're not choshish for a suffix drusa, you find the nail lodged into the back of the shor, that's only if you find a tziporen actually lodged into the back of the shor. But if you don't find a tziporen, but you see nail marks on the back of the shor, then we have to be choshish for drusa, because rov arayos are darsin. V'tziporen nami lo amaron ela lacha. And when there's a tziporen lodged into the back of the shor, we also only say this if it's moist. There was dam, so in such a case, we assume that it wasn't dores, it rubbed against the wall. Aval yevesha, but if you find a tziporin that is dry, then we're choshesh for it to be dores, and the tziporin came out at the time of the drisa, because if it were a moist fingernail, it would not come out at the time of the drisa. So therefore, it's more likely that it just rubbed against the wall. But a dry fingernail likely did come out at the time of the clawing. So avdu d'mishtamta, it's a more likely scenario that if it had dry nails, that it came out at the time of the clawing. And lachanami, even if it was moist, where it's unlikely to come out at the time of the clawing, lo amaran elachada, that this din is only if it was one tziporen in the back of the shor, so then we're told that it came from rubbing against the wall. Avaltarti utlas, but if it was two or three of the fingernails in the back of the shor, cheshina, then we're choshesh that the ari was doris, because it's very, very, very unlikely that two or three claws landed in its back when it was just rubbing against the wall. Even one is unlikely. Two or three defies all logic. But we only assume that it's doris if it looks like a claw mark, meaning if the two or three are lined up the way that they would be lined up in the lion's on the lion's hand. So then we assume that it in fact was dores. So now the Gemara brings a machlokas amuraim regarding suffik drusa. Itmar Rav Amar ein choshin the suffik drusa. Rav says we're not choshish for suffik drusa. You do not assume that it's a treifa. Ushmuel Amar choshish in the suffik drusa. Shmuel says yes, we are. We have to be toref mi suffik. So to kuli alma suffik al suffik lo al that. Suffik ol suffik lo ol ema lo ol. If the suffik was whether the ari ever walked into the area where the oxen were, or it never even went into the area where the oxen were, everyone's going to agree that everything's going to be mutter. We do not assume a reusa when we don't even know that it ever existed. We don't even know that there was ever any interaction between the lion and the oxen. We don't assume such an interaction. So if that's where the level of suffik was, both Rav and Shmuel would say everything's mutter. Suffik kalba, suffik shunra, but if it went among the behemos, but it's a suffik whether it was a kelev, which is not able to be dores, or it was a chatul, which is able to be dores, say a makalba. So we then would assume that it is a kelev, and therefore it was not dores, a kalba ol. That it was a kalba, that it was a dog. Similarly, all shasik ve'esuv benayu, if an ari, a lion, went among behemos and it was quiet and it quietly sat among them, meaning based on what we were able to observe, the lion is just relaxing among all these behemos and no one seems so nervous. Say emer shal nashavi, we can assume that sometimes different chayos are able to coexist and they just live together and they don't bother each other. So they came to some understanding that you be you, I'll be me, and we'll all be happy together. And I'm not going to attack you, and everyone's going to be fine. But and similarly, cut a reshe dechad minayu. If the dores cut off the head of one of the other behemos, so we don't have to worry about being dores other behemos because nach miritche it cut out its aggression. You come as right meaning, and therefore we assume that it's not going to go clawing anything. It already took care of its anger issues. It cut out all the aggression that it had for today, and therefore we don't assume it's clawing anything else. Also, iu kama avvi, if it's groaning, the inu kama karkaran, and there the other behemos are making noises. They're like crying out. So then ba'usei kama vasi. We assume we're not choshish for drisa. We assume that they're both there's this equal fear from one to the other, that they're all sort of like on edge, and no one is going to attack because they're each afraid of the other animals. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether a suffix drusa is a drusa or not, is the iu kashasik. The lion is absolutely quiet and is sitting there peacefully. Vinu kamakarkaran, and the other animals are all groaning and crying and wailing. So Mar Savar, so Shmuel holds that we have to be choshish for drusa because we assume ma'isa kaved buhu. They're crying for a reason. They just saw what this thing is able to do, and therefore they're terrified because he was. Dores. Umar Safar, as Rav says, no, we're not choshish for drisa. They're just afraid, but not because they saw anything happen. So we don't assume that there was any drisa that happened. So that's the case where you have machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether the suffix drusa is considered to be a drusa. Samar Amemar Hilchasa. Choshin the Savik Drusa. We paskin like Shmuel that we are choshish for a Savik Drusa. So I'm the Ravashi Lamemar, hi Derav Mai. What do you mean paskin like Shmuel? It's Hilchasik Rav Bisuri. You're always supposed to paskin like Rav, and it's Machlok Rav Shmuel. What do you do about Rav? So I'm like, Lo Shmieli, Kolomer Lo Svirli. I never heard of Rav. Meaning, I even though I did hear of it, I'm not moda to his Svara. Normally we paskin like Rav because we assume Rav was a greater expert in Isser Veheter. Over here, his expertise failed him. It wasn't, it's an illogical approach, and therefore we pass that we are choshish for a savik drusa. The iba yaseima, or we could be miyashiv differently, that the reason he passed like Shmuel was because hader be Rav legabi de Shmuel. Rav himself changed his mind and then passed like Shmuel, and therefore there is only one opinion in the end of the day. Where do we find that Rav changed his mind? Tahu sharkafa, there was a basket full of birds, the savik drusos, that a nates had gone among them. A nates is the bird that's able to be dores, had gone among them, and we're not sure, maybe this nates was dores, these other birds. So all of these birds were suffix drusos. Dasil kamei derav, and the shayla came to Rav to paskin, whether it's mutter or aser. Now, from what we know from Rav, Rav should say straight up, they are mutter. Suffix drusa is not a problem, according to Rav. Shadrinu kamei de Shmuel. Rav refused to paskin. He said, send him to Shmuel. Chankinu v'shadrinu benara. Shmuel choked them all to death and threw them in the river. Meaning Shmuel drowned them all. Because he absolutely did not was not going to be makel on this case. But v'isal kadai techlo haderbe, if Rav didn't change his mind and he still held that we're not choshish for a savik drusa lishrinu, instead of sending them to Shmuel, he should have just been matir. He should have said that they're mutter and go enjoy your dinner. Right? It's not a problem. Then that these are kosher birds. So elamai. So says Gemara, that's not a good raya, because what do you want a taina that haderbe, that he changed his mind and he now paskins like Shmuel that they're aser? So the Srinu, let him ask, meaning the whole behavior is so unusual. Why send the Shaila to Shmuel? You're a rabbi, you know how to paskin, and you have a shita on this. Well, the shita is one way or the other, you have a shita, so paskin it. So if you hold just like Shmuel that it's aser, so say that it's aser. Ella asri de Shmuel hava. No, it was Shmuel's place, and because it was Shmuel's place, that's why he didn't want to paskin. There are two versions of what that means over here in Rashi. One possibility is that Rav ultimately did agree to Shmuel that it was aser, but it was asri de Shmuel, so it's not for him to say that it's aser, it's for Shmuel to say that it's aser. Derech Eretz, for the Marad Asra, for the local rabbi, he says, I'm not going to paskin with the local rabbis here, we have the same psak, so I'll let him paskin it. But, according to that version of Rashi, if Rav in fact held it was mutter, he would not have just sent it to Shmuel. Meaning, Derech Eretz is when he's going to get it right, so then I'll let him paskin it rather than me paskin it. But if he's going to get it wrong, I'm not going to take that risk. I'm going to have to paskin rather than let the Marad Asra get it wrong. The other version of Rashi is that no, Rav disagreed with Shmuel, but he felt that the covenant of the Marada Asra is that even if he's going to get it wrong, you send it to him because he's the Marada Asra and he has the right to paskin this shaila. So that's a major point. If you say like the first thing I said, which is of Rashi, that Rav is really molded to Shmuel, but otherwise he would not have sent him the shaila because whenever there's a nidnud chait, ein chalkin kavod the Rav, that if Rav really held mutter and Shmuel held aser, so it's an avera to go send it to him. So what's the avera? Apparently the avera is the Shach writes in Siman Reish Mem Beis when he goes through the klalim of paskening halachas. Shach says you can't just be when you can't just be machmir when the halacha is that it's mutter. If you're machmir when the halacha is mutter, it's likely you're being makel on something else. That every chumra comes with the kula somewhere else. So Rav couldn't just say, all right, so Shmuel will be machmir at the end of the world. Let him be machmir. No, if it was mutter, he would not have allowed Shmuel to be machmir because that chumra is likely going to be a kula somewhere else. And over here, it's obvious what the kula is. It's mamonim shel Yisrael. It's other people's money that you're messing around with, and you can't. And you're going to throw everything out. So that's going to be the problem. Okay, so says Gemara, why did Shmuel have to choke them? Just throw them into the river. So says Gemara, because they'll escape, they'll fly away, and therefore someone else will catch it, and they'll assume it's not a trefa, and it's going to be a mikshal. So why not just leave it around for 12 months? Well, you leave it around for 12 months, that's 12 months of opportunity for people to eat it, and that's going to be a problem. Why not sell it to Goyim? So because the Goy could turn around and sell it to a Jew. Okay, why not choke it and throw it to the Ashba? Why do you have to throw it into the river? Yeah, by that token, why not throw it to the dogs? No, he Dafka wanted to make a show of it, to show that this is us, or that the Safik Drusa is Asr. Who bar Avza Davabe Rav Ashi? There was a goose that was in the house of Rav Ashi, Ol Beni Kanya, and it went among the nests. Novak Asakim Masmis Koe Dama, and it came out when its neck was Meluchlach Bedam. It was all stained with blood on its neck. So Rav Ashi, Larmin and Safik Kalba, Safik Shunra. We don't say that, like we said before, that if it's a Safik, whether a dog or a Chatul went in there, that we're not Choshesh, meaning, didn't we say that if you're not sure that if it's a dog or a shunra, that aim or kalba, that you assume that it was a dog and therefore it's not a drusa? Well, hachanami, we'll say the same thing over here, that since it was among the kanim, safik kanya, safik shunra, that maybe what attacked it was the kanim, maybe it was a shunra, maybe it was a cat, same or kanya machye. So you have to assume that it was the kanya that struck it and not a chatul, and therefore it's not a drusa. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, drusa sha'amru, and the Chacham say that we have to be choshesh for a suffix drusa sari or whatever it might be. But you can't see where the drusa happened on the outside of the body. So where do you check to see if it was a drusa? Tzricha b'dika kedeged b'nei me'ayim. You need to check the entire area where the intestines of the animal are. So meaning because if you can't identify the spot, so you need to check the whole area. So Amr Rav Yosef, hada b'nei Rabbi Chiya kvar pir. Shmuel, that which the Bnei Rabbi Chiya said, Shmuel already taught us. Dar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Drusa Shamra Tzricha B'dika, he said that exact same thing. By Ilfa raised the Shaila, Drusa the Simanim, Oein Drusa the Simanim, where the Behema was Nidras by the Simanim, by the Karor Veshet. Do we assume that that's a Drusa as well, or it's only by the intestines, by the stomach? So Amr Rabbi Zera, Hadda by Ilfa, even though Ilfa raised this question, Kagavar Pirsha Rav Chan Barov. So you see very clearly that could be a drusa by simanim. By yilf another shaili raised simanim shenidaldalu bekama when simanim are nekar from the place where they're attached to the body. So how much do they need to be nekar in order for it to be considered a treifa? So Rabbi Zera had by yilfa. Even though Ilfa asked this question, Kvar Pirsha Rabbi Bar Bechana. Rabbi Bar Bechana already dealt with it. Damer Rabbi Bar Bechana Meshmuel. Simanim shenidaldalu beruban, that it's only if it's a rove of the place where it's attached becomes detached, that's considered nekar. By Rav Ami, Hamas Masa Mahu, if a behema was attacked on its thigh, not connected the Chalal Haguf, the main body, and then we see that the that there's rotted flesh on the thigh, is that considered a trefa or not? So I'm Rabbi Zeira, Had by Rav Ami, Kvar Pirsh Rav Yehuda, Zam Rabbi Dom Rav, Bedrusa Ache Yadim Basar connected Bnei Me'ayim, that a drusa is only when it reddens the flesh connected the Bnei Me'ayim, then you know that it's caused that it was the venom that caused it to redden. This masme says baso rono so kilueno. And if the flesh starts to rot, we view it as if it's not there. So if it's in something that had that whole area been removed, it would be a trefa. When it's rotted flesh in that area, it's also a trefa. It's whenever a doctor would just cut out that flesh because it's dead flesh and it would just leave the live flesh behind. He brought a lung that if you set it down, it looked like it was fully intact. But when you lift it up, pieces would start falling off of it. And he said that it's treif based on what Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua says, that anything that the doctor would just scrape off is as if it's not there, so too the pieces of the lung that just fall off are as if they are not there. Okay, but Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Rav Nachman Amar. Alicia is going to give the daf tomorrow and Wednesday. I'll be back Thursday. I might give it from camp tonight. I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp.